You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, and I'm here with pastor, preacher, author, church planting leader, Vance Pittman. Vance, it is so good to be with you today.
It's great to be with you too, man. I love all your adjectives there. That's awesome. But no, it's great, man. It's awesome. It's a new year. Excited about this upcoming year. I know there's been, a lot of people have celebrated holidays recently, been with family, and had some great times, and now excited about what's happening in the new year. Obviously, Noah, because of holidays and everything, these episodes are slightly pre-recorded. And yeah. So anybody who knows me knows that if this was not pre-recorded, I would be talking about the last couple of weeks of college football. But because we pre-recorded, I don't know yet. But I'm going to go ahead and say, by faith, Roll Tide. And congratulations on being the new national champion. And I may have to eat those words, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I love that. Vance, it can be funny to sort of hype you up at the beginning of an episode. But today, I wanted to do it for a very specific purpose. We're here with our listeners at the beginning of a new year to talk about one of the most indispensable tools in the life of a church planter, of a new church leader, casting vision. And Vance, truly, you are a visionary leader in all the ways that I mentioned, pastoring, preaching, writing, leading. You cast vision in every realm that God has placed you. So right out of the gate, Vance, just tell us, big picture, why is casting vision such an important element in new church leadership?
Noah, I think it's such an important element. And I think to answer that, first of all, we got to really answer the question, what is vision?
Yeah.
Because when a lot of people hear that, I think they think the wrong thing. A lot of people hear this idea of casting vision and they start thinking about coming up with big plans or putting language to their dreams or aspirations, or setting massive goals, or aligning some objectives and strategies with where you want to go in the coming year. And if that's what we think vision is, then I think vision's really not that important. I think a lot of times we set ourselves up to fail when we think that vision casting is really about coming up with a plan, packaging it well, branding it well, and then communicating it well so that we can get people to buy in. That may be visionary leadership in the marketplace, but it's not really visionary leadership in the church. Vision, I believe, is really allowing people to see God's activity in the world.
Wow.
And then showing them how they can get in on it.
Oh, so good.
That's what vision casting as a spiritual leader is. It's discerning the voice of God. It's hearing from God. It's seeing what God is doing. And then showing people, creating windows where through those windows, people can see the activity of God, and then they can see how to leverage their life to join in God's activity. There's a verse in Proverbs that's probably the most quoted verse when it comes to this idea of vision casting. It's Proverbs 29:18. And what it says in the ESV is, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraints.
Yeah.
And what it really means is, and I love the way the ESV emphasizes that prophetic vision. It's this idea of having heard the voice of God, where there's not a clear ability to see what God is doing and how we align ourselves with it. What happens is, it says the people cast off restraints. It means everybody goes their own way.
Yeah.
Where there's not a clear and compelling vision, where we've seen the activity of God and we're leveraging our lives to join in it, then everybody just goes their own way. But here's what I found in 30 years plus years of pastoring, 20 plus years of church planting. When you show believers the activity of God in the world, you show them that God is big and that God is moving in the world. There is something in the heart of every believer that longs to leverage their life. They will give, they will serve, they will sacrifice, they will die to themselves to join in the activity of God. So I think it's so important because I love what Henry Blackaby said about leadership. Leadership is moving people onto God's agenda.
Gosh.
That's what real leadership is. And so we have to cast vision, which is showing them what God is doing and then showing them how they can leverage their lives to get in on it.
Man, that's so good. So we find ourselves here at the beginning of a new year, 12 months in front of us. So how do you go about discerning and showing specifically the work of God, the movement of God, the activity of God to a people in order to get them where God wants them? What has to happen here?
Well, this again, I think, is another place where as church planters, we often get off track. I think a lot of times the church planters that I talk to take an Old Testament view of this. And here's what I mean by that. I got to be Moses.
Yeah.
I got to go up on the mountain by myself. I got to hear this divine word from God. And then I got to bring the tablets down and show it to the people. But that's an Old Testament way of relating to God. In the New Testament, there's a different paradigm of how God speaks to his people. I like to say it this way. In the New Testament, the principle is hearing God together.
Yeah.
The New Testament knows nothing of a Christianity without community. That's why in the New Testament, you see this phrase repeated over and over again, all in one accord. Mm-hmm. And you know, the old preacher joke, that doesn't mean they were all riding around in a Honda together, right? All in one accord means everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
It's a Greek phrase that refers to the heart, the mind, the will, the passion, meaning everybody'd wrap their hearts around the same thing. And the reason is because they heard God together. Throughout the book of Acts, into the New Testament letters, you see this pattern of God's people hearing him together, God speaking in community. Obviously, there's leadership involved in that that's in place, but the leadership hears God together. We're no longer called to be lone rangers for God, these prophets who go and hear God all by ourselves. We're called to be in community, even as pastors and elders and church planters, to be in community with others and hear God together. So the way we practice this at our church in Las Vegas for two decades is we established a process by which we heard God together every single year.
Yeah.
Every year, our team would walk through a 6 to 8 to 10 week process that started in the summer because our calendar year was January to December, and different churches have different calendar years. Ours was a fiscal January to December year. So we would start in the early summer months and take 8 to 10 weeks of leading our teams, both staff teams and volunteer teams, together. This wasn't a quote-unquote laity versus clergy. It was the people of God hearing God together in community. And we did that through four filters. The whole process was designed around four filters. And that the four filters were simply this. Number one, plans that are in God initiated. We want to know that we've heard from God in this process. So a major piece of this strategic planning process and this hearing from God process was several weeks of just praying together. We would give an exhaustive prayer guide to help our leaders, both paid and volunteer, working together to hear from God together. We'd give them an exhaustive prayer guide so that they could thoroughly seek the face of the Father. So we want to know the plans where God initiated. Second, we wanted to know that the plan aligned with our mission, our vision, and our values, that there was an alignment with what God had already spoken to us about our mission and vision, that where we were headed this year lined up with that. It wasn't taking off in a different direction, or if it was, we'd thoroughly vetted that and really clearly heard from God. Number three, that that vision we were going to cast reflected wise financial stewardship, that it fit within the overall financial plan that we believe God had given us as a fellowship. And then four, that the new vision we were casting aligned with our team's health. It prioritized those that were going to be leading it and their spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental health, meaning, is this sustainable for the long term for our team to carry this out? So how do we hear from God? We hear from God in community. We hear from God together, which demands an annual process where you lead your team of volunteers and staff, whatever it may look like for you in a church plant, probably more weighted on volunteers than staff. You lead them through a process of hearing God together, creating those filters by which they can discern this is what God's doing, and this is how we lead our people to engage in it.
Man, I love that process, Vance. You guys have actually brought that process to Send Network. And this last year, we got to walk through that. I can just say 15 years of church plant leadership and even more beyond that, it has been the most life-giving process that brings the most people in. I know that, like you said, a lot of times church planters, they try to feel like Moses to go up on the mountain. For year after year, my team, our elders and our wives would go on a retreat to pray together, to plan together, to do that in community, bring it back, meet with our ministry team leaders and our deacons, eventually our finance team and all of that. And I saw we walked through these steps in a similar pattern, however, not in the systematized approach. And so just for our listeners, if they're right here at the beginning of the year and it's their calendar year's already started, I would just encourage them, don't worry about aligning everything. Start now and start this process for the days ahead because it's so thorough. And really, as you said, it's so biblical. It's a New Testament model.
And Noah, you can start it small. Like you don't have to even think, okay, let's do this for the next year. If you want to introduce this process, get some key leaders together and just say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the next 4 weeks and we're going to seek God about the next 90 days, about what he wants for us for the first quarter of the year. And so you're just thinking about 90 days. You're not even thinking about a whole year. Mm-hmm. And then you do it again for the next 90 days. And after you've done it twice for 90 days, then you're in the middle of next year. Now you begin to think, okay, how do we do this and replicate it for an entire 12-month period of time? So you build the process into your team and you grow into them the understanding of how to navigate it. And I'll just say this, Noah, at Hope Church, some of the greatest ideas, some of the most God-honoring, impactful things that happened out of our ministry, I did not come up with them.
Yeah.
They were not born in my heart. They were not born in my mind. Now, the big dream, the big vision of a kingdom church that sees the city transformed, that was the umbrella that our leaders cast. But then underneath that, God allowed for things like we had at one point something birthed called a life center. It was a lady in our fellowship who at the time was a volunteer, had a heart for hurting people. And God birthed this dream in her for this life center. And through this process that I described, we identified her and she wound up birthing what officially became known as the life center within our church that helped people that had come through divorce, addiction, grief, all these different hurts and hangups in life and moved them on a discipleship path. And that thing for over a decade, there were probably 10 to 15,000 people in our city that God brought through that. I would have never in a million years come up with that. I'm not a counselor. I'm a missionary. I'm so concerned about reaching the unreached and the hard to reach. I'm like, man, suck it up. Let's go. But God used somebody in our fellowship through this process bring some. So this process also takes the pressure off, church planner. You don't have to be the end all be all for creative ideas in your fellowship. And if you are, you are a lid for the activity of God in and through your fellowship.
Wow, man, a lid for the activity of God in your fellowship. Hey, I know no planter wants to be that. They want to be a catalyst for it. They want to be opening up the floodgates for God to use all kinds of people. So you've developed this vision. Now it's getting all these people beyond that team that's walked through this together, these leaders. How does the church planter, now as that visionary leader, effectively communicate that vision to the congregation and inspire them to leverage their life to join in God's activity?
Yeah. So once you've been through this process and what will happen is God will bubble up certain things through the process and the church planter, the elders, the leadership team, whoever those are, have to ultimately make some decisions as you hear God together. But once that plan is in place of, hey, this is where God is leading us to engage next year, I think you have to share it in two ways. Number one, I think you have to first think in concentric circles. Mm-hmm. I think about that this way. I think owners, I think leaders, and I think members.
Okay.
So the concentric circles of how you share this, first of all, is owners. The owners would be those that I would consider the lead team. Mm-hmm. So if you're a developed church plant and you're several years in, you may have your elders and maybe a leadership team in place. And that would, for at Hope, it would have been our lead team of pastors and our stewardship team. Yep. Were lay leaders that held our lead team of planters, our lead team of pastors accountable, and were stewarding us. But in the early days of our church plant, it might have just been what you called your core team. It's yeah. those who own the work with you. So you start by making sure the owners clearly understand. Then secondly would be the leaders. That would be those who you've empowered to begin to lead in areas of ministry. If you're more advanced, it could be staff and volunteers. If you're not there yet, these are probably all volunteer leaders that you're now empowering. But you start with the owners, then you begin to cast that vision to the leaders. And the reason you do it that way is you want the owners to be able to share the vision with you so that it's not just centered in one personality who's doing this. But now you have the owners who, as you share vision, and leaders begin to ask questions, the owners get to reinforce mm-hmm. that vision and to encourage that vision. And people begin to hear, man, this is what God's doing. This is not just what the pastor came up with. This is what God's doing. And they're hearing it from multiple voices. So owners, leaders, and then members. That's the body. That's those that you're equipping to carry out the work of the ministry. Yeah. So you start with the owners, then you communicate with the leaders, and then you communicate to the body. So by the time you get to the body, there are owners and there are leaders that are now carrying the banner of vision with you and communicating that throughout the body. Because you can't be everywhere as a church planter. You need other voices that can carry the vision with you. So it starts by thinking in concentric circles, owners, leaders, members. Then secondly, there are multiple approaches that you take in each of those formats. And I'll give you, just for sake of using some alliteration, I'll give you three P words.
Come on.
To kind of communicate it. Number one is preaching. Mm-hmm. It's through preaching, through communicating, through speaking, you are casting that vision. But for a lot of church planters, that's the only way they communicate. And there are other ways. So preaching is one way. It's a primary way. But secondly, you do it through people. You equip the owners and the leaders to also communicate the vision, which means creating what we always created at Hope was called FAQs, those frequently asked question sheets. You need to equip your owners and leaders with FAQ sheets so that they are ready and equipped to communicate the vision, to answer the hard questions. They're not going to be surprised. And you need to give them key talking points so that they know how to cast this vision. You need to have done it so much with them that they're ready. So you share the vision through other people. You also share the vision through other people by using stories from the body. In your environments where you gather, be it small group, be it large group, weekend services, whatever that is, you need to use technology to capture stories mm-hmm. where you're sharing stories of people in the body who are living out the vision. Because it's one thing for me to stand up on the stage and say, here's the vision, here's where we're going. But others look at that and go, man, the leap from me to Vance is a big leap. But when they hear Joe, who runs a construction company, who's leveraging his life to join in the vision, or Mary, who's teaching school to leverage her job skill and passion to join, they go, hey, wait a minute. I can yeah. be a part of that too. So you use others and their stories through technology to communicate the vision. And then finally, so there's preaching, there's people. Finally is promotion, which can be a lot of different things. You're communicating opportunities to connect to the vision. Another big mistake we make in vision casting is we cast this vision in the early months of a year, and then we just leave it. We forget yeah. about it. You need to be bringing everything back. Every opportunity that you're casting needs to show its connection to where God's leading you as a fellowship. So opportunities. Another thing we always did at Hope is what we called our generosity thought. Every weekend in our services, before we communicated the opportunity to give, we connected giving to the vision. Mm. We wanted people to see that you don't give to a church, you give through a church as an opportunity to join in God's activity of expanding his kingdom. And so we would have a generosity thought where we would take some story, some stat, some testimony that connected to vision, and we would say, as you give today, you're allowing us to join in the activity of God. So those are some of the ways that wow. I think it's important for us to communicate vision.
Man, that's really, really helpful, really practical. Guys can build this out
right here, right now, at the beginning of the year. But as they get into the year, Vance, how do they assess? What are some built-in mechanisms to assess the progress of the vision throughout the year?
It's an excellent question. And I'll give you two primary ways that we used it in our work. Number one was performance reviews. Mm-hmm. Now, you hear that and you think only about staff in a large church, but performance review is not just about staff. You can do performance reviews with volunteer leaders, where you sit down on an annual basis and have an honest question or an honest conversation with them about their leadership. You're doing that to help them, to equip them, to help them get better, and to give them growth plans to help them continue to develop. You say, how does a performance review deal with vision? When you have this process in place where you take several weeks and you hear God together and you determine, here's where the Lord's leading us, then what we ask our staff and volunteers to do was establish a year's worth of goals and objectives based on what they heard from God. So our performance review was simply, it was not us holding them accountable to a job description. It was us holding them accountable to what they said to us, God had spoken to them in community, mm-hmm. and the objectives they put in place, we'd all agreed together, okay, we believe you've heard that from the Lord. We believe in those objectives and strategies. So annually, we held them accountable, and I was held accountable by our stewardship team to the goals and objectives we put in place based on what we've heard from the Lord. Now, sometimes we had to be honest and say, you know what? We just miss God on that. We're human beings. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we don't get it right. But other times there's mission drift that happens. We let other things get in the way. And so performance reviews on an annual basis, again, we had a process for that where we would walk people through a series of questions that were based on what they'd heard from the Lord to help evaluate, were we moving in the right direction? So performance reviews are a big part of that with both a volunteer and staff leaders. And then secondly, we did an annual anonymous church-wide survey. Hmm. It was 17 questions based on our mission, vision, and values. And so every year I would take 10 minutes in a worship service and we would distribute these. Well, we used to distribute, then we started doing it with technology. We got fancy. But you can do it on paper, you can do it technology. And I would just take 10 minutes and I'd walk the church through these 17 questions, and they were totally anonymous. And I would tell our church, this is not a grade on you as the church. This is a grade on us as the leaders. Are we effectively leading our church to accomplish the mission and vision that God's given us? For example, I can tell you based on those surveys, because one of the things that we majored on at Hope is believing that that following Jesus is really about a relationship, an intimate love relationship with the Father. So we wanted to make sure people weren't just coming to church, but that they were deepening their love relationship with the Father. Well, how do you do that? That's so subjective. Well, here's one of the questions we ask. Do you spend time daily with Jesus in His word and prayer? And based on the surveys over a 10-year period of time, here's what I can tell you. If you've been at Hope 1 to 3 years, about 30 to 35% of the people that have been at Hope 1 to 3 years were spending time with Jesus daily. Wow. But if you've been at Hope more than 7 years, almost 90% of those people were spending time with Jesus daily in His word and prayer when you'd been at Hope for over 7 years. So we understood from those surveys, the longer you were in our fellowship, the longer you were in our process, the more likely you were daily cultivating intimate fellowship with the Father. So we did an annual survey based on our mission, vision, and values to get feedback about that.
Vance, I feel like you could teach a masterclass on this. And I think in the future, that will probably be a really great new church's course, just developing vision, helping church planters. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of time, hey, what's just one more word? What's one parting comment that you would give to leaders as they think about this new year of vision and vision casting?
Yeah, let me give you three quick pitfalls to avoid in doing this. Number one, it's A to B, not A to Z. Sometimes we hear this stuff and we try to run A to Z, and people don't move A to Z. They move A to B. So take small steps in implementing a strategy to hear God together, but also take small steps. I think sometimes when vision casting, we think it's always got to be this audacious, massive. It's just A to B. And here's what I can tell you. If you'll go A to B, you'll wake up 20 years from now and be astonished at how far God has taken you.
That's awesome.
So just go A to B. Number two, wait on the Lord. If God doesn't speak clearly, wait. Don't rush it. Don't feel like you have to come up with something. Don't let deadlines drive the agenda. Let intimacy with the Father drive the agenda. And number three, if you're not clear on what he's telling you to do next, do the last thing you know he told you to do.
Oh, man.
And just wait on him until he speaks again.
Man, Vance, thank you so much for pouring out today. This is gold. This is going to be so helpful for our planters. And thank you all for listening to the New Churches podcast. Until next time, may the word of Christ dwell in you richly so that your vision is actually his vision. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.